Hello.
My name is Dan McInerney.
I'm Dustin DiDato.
We're two New York-based comedians who like talking about comedy, which we're going to do now. And Dustin, why don't you tell the listening audience about our guest this week?
Okay, we have a guest, a musical guest.
Ooh.
Tonight.
That is our first musical guest.
Our first musical guest, Shayna Firm. Say hello.
Hello. That made it sound like calling me a musical guest made it sound like I was like I only sang.
If you could have sung the entire show.
Yeah.
That would have been,
I would have duped everybody.
That would have been fantastic.
Music follows her. Can't wait. Yeah, so Shayna is of the group Shayna Firm and the Upper Deckers,
mm-hmm.
and also of the sketch group, because she's not a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Fearsome.
Yeah, that's correct.
Thanks for adding to that, Shayna.
Fearsome, a group I've seen many times, and have loved every single time I've seen them.
Aw,
so,
that's so nice.
Just throwing it out there. Very
especially
talented.
The musical parts, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Know. Well, and I've seen Shayna do her. Well, you. So let's explain to the audience instead of just talking among the three of us and pretending like we're not actually recording this. You do. You sing songs that have humorous content too.
Yes, sir.
Is that?
I do. I do it. I do it solo. I do it with my band, and I also, I guess, started it and do it with my sketch group.
I've seen you do it many times, mm-hmm. and it's been very funny.
Aww, you're
every
kind.
Single time I've seen you do it. That is something that if there's one area I wish I was better at or had any talent whatsoever in, it is music.
I have felt that way about you for a long time.
Thank you. I know.
That is your one weak point.
Yeah.
That's your one weak.
I know. My mom says that too. She'll just call me up and she'll be like, "You have no musical talent." And it hurts.
Yeah, well, the reason that we have Shayna on, beyond the fact that she's just nice and fun to talk to, is that musical comedy has always been like a weird, not an offshoot of regular comedy, but it's always been a very like separate.
We're hated.
Kind of
we're
thing.
Hated by people, or to we're
degree.
Loved by people.
Yeah,
really.
It's very people have very strong opinions. About
yeah.
What you do.
See, I hate so many things, and yet I love musical comedy. When I say musical comedy, I don't mean like Hello Dolly. I mean like people singing songs that are funny. That's like one of my favorite things.
Right.
It's something that I so desperately wish that I could do. Because if there's things that I love, music is a very close second to comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I have zero talent in music. And I wish I could play an instrument and write funny songs and have everybody laugh.
Because
the great thing about musical comedy is if you write a halfway decent song,
yeah.
Once the comedy of it is done, you still got a pretty good song. If people, you know, I'll listen to a song, like a funny song, like many, many, many times if it's a good song. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I'm not going to listen to the same comedy bit over and over and over and over again. But I will theoretically listen to, you know, a great Jonathan Colton song 100 times, you know, over the span of my lifetime.
But I think when you said that musical comedians are hated, I think that's part of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, because we have it easier in a lot of ways because
I knew it.
Yeah.
I said that from the beginning.
Yeah.
And other people disagreed I'm a bitter comic.
It's different. It's a different muscle to flex, but it's also we're always put in the same like showcases and the same shows as stand-ups. So when you're musical stand-up, you how many songs can you write in, you know, a week? Like, you know, usually you have to be pretty inspired, and if you want it musically to be any good, then it kind of takes a little bit more time. So, you know, stand-ups are always working on new material. Like, there's so much more involved, and you're so much more naked, really. And I feel very safe behind my guitar with my rhymes, you know?
Right.
It's kind of, you know, it's a safer place to be, and I definitely have so much respect. I consider myself a comedian, been doing this for a really long time, but if you took my guitar away from me, I don't think I could do it. It's kind of it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this about musical comedy. What is it about comedy or jokes set to music and that rhyme that'll just make any joke 10 times funnier? At least I think that. Am I wrong, right? Like if you have like a halfway decent idea, if you write that into a song and then make every other line rhyme, you got me. I'm in.
It depends on the idea, right?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you know what I mean, like.
But I think partially it's the familiarity and the anticipation.
Yeah.
You know,
you
like,
think you know it's coming.
Yeah. And then when somebody twists it, it's like awesome. But then the second time, you're in on it and you know, and the chorus comes up and you're like, yes, I'm rocking out with you, musical comedian.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I appreciated what happened. And now we share it. Now we're like a union. Which I think is why musical comedians always close the show, because they can bring everybody together.
Yeah.
And then you remember that, like, hey, I remember at the end we were rocking out. Right. Unless they're awful. And then everybody just quietly leaves the room.
Well, I have to say I'm a total sucker. I don't do this kind of comedy myself, but I am, like, a sucker for, like, the parody song comedy, like
the Weird Al.
There are some comedians, like, all of my stuff is not, I don't do, you know, new lyrics to old tunes, like, I have new music, but I still have a little fancy fanship for people that do that. It, like, makes me giggle, and there's something so, like, old school and kind of primitive about that. I just really, you know, you're like, oh, they turned, you know, what's like ones we did as kids, you know, like I don't know. Batman and Robin was like something about farting. What was it?
Oh, you mean Jingle Bells Batman Smells?
Yeah, Jingle Bells Batman Smells. Like, yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah, no.
So there's something very funny, and I think that's kind of the base of, of the music comedy world.
No, there was a time where that was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and that is 2008, because that is hilarious.
I'm not saying it's not funny now.
Okay.
I'm just saying there was a time where you were like, the person who wrote that is a genius.
Yeah, but there's also a time when you're 31 years old and you're like, what's the one about Batman farting? And it's like, where did our childhood happen?
And Dan couldn't be more excited. He's like, that's Batman's.
No, that's Batman's Bells. Yeah. A, it's a classic. And B, when you're nine, you're like, yeah, take that, Batman. You think you're so cool.
Robin laid an egg.
You
smell.
Robin laid an egg.
Hey, we're going to have to pay royalties on
the Batmobile broke its wheel and the Joker got away. Everybody knows.
Oh, everybody knows.
I mean, everybody.
Does anybody get to keep credit for that? Like, is there somebody, like, who gets royalties every time you sing Batman Smells?
I don't know, but there is, like, some 8-year-old, or at one point was an 8-year-old, now is probably in his 40s, who totally, like, every time someone does, is like, I came up with that.
Oh, yeah.
I came up with that, and that thing spread like wildfire, and I never get credit for it.
I think that actually, now thinking about it, my very first song that I ever wrote, like, now thinking about it, about this conversation, was when we were on a road trip across the country, and I was, like, 5, and I wrote Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're a modern Jewish family. And I had this whole song. I mean, I was, like, 5.
Right.
Apparently, that's where it all started.
At that point, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not.
Pretty sure one in the car thought I was quite as brilliant as I did.
Well, because also, I was going to say, because one of the things that got me into comedy at a very, very, very young age was Mr. Weird Al Yankovic. I'm going to throw it out there, because I had people love to hate on him. And, you know, I admittedly now in my 30s, I'm not, not running out to buy the latest Weird Al album. But at the time, it was definitely a gateway drug into, like, this is hilarious. And he, as somebody who does parody songs, here's the difference between a good parody song and a bad parody song. If you, like, your parody song has nothing to do with the original song other than the music, that's bad.
Okay.
I'm throwing that out there. But what he'll do is, like, the lyrics will be analogous, it'll be like similar, but will be about a completely different subject. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well,
like,
I mean,
eat it.
Parody work?
No, but I'm saying, but then if you're just like, right, but like, like during Fat, he's like, ham on whole wheat, and you're like, because he says ham on in the real song, and then you threw whole wheat on the end of there. That's hilarious. Whereas, like,
did you say ham on or say shamon?
Well, it's something similar.
Shamon.
Right, yeah, shamon, whatever.
We're going to get letters.
What does shamon mean?
I don't think it means anything.
Yeah, no, that's part of Michael Jackson speak.
Shamon.
Yeah, he can say whatever he wants. There was a time, like, in the 80s.
He should have named his kid Shamon.
Where he could just yell shamon at a song. People would be like, yeah, I'll buy it.
Yeah,
you're saying shamon. I don't know what it means, but I'm into it. But a bad parody song will not do that. We'll just have completely new lyrics that have nothing to do with the original song. And that's lazy. And that's why I think Weird Al's actually...
Lazy.
No, I think that's why Weird Al's pretty good, is that he will write a song where, like, each verse will have a relation to the original song. And you're like, oh, I see where that came from. Yet at the same time, about a completely different subject and all new lyrics.
You know what? You know what's surprising to me? The one he came out recently, White and Nerdy.
Yeah,
I think his own. That was his best-selling album ever.
Yeah, nuh-uh. And that's a
yeah,
and that was a great song.
Yeah,
it really was. But it was really funny and clever.
But there was a time where he was part of like the culture. You know, like you Weird Yankovic was.
Yeah.
You know, you were waiting to see what he was going to do
right.
with that, you know, Dangerous Mind song or whatever. And now I have, you know, I mean, he's got that one song,
right.
but for it to be his best-selling album ever, I was like, how did that?
No, but see,
I thought we were over.
No, Dustin.
I thought that had come and gone.
You're wrong, though, because every day someone new turns 13. And maybe,
sure. okay.
maybe he's not in your world, but I guarantee that he's in somebody's world.
And he will play a lot of bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, and they're very excited. And he will play Westbury Music Fair.
Yes.
And there will be a sea of 13-year-old kids who are super wow. excited to see him
they
make fun
it.
Of the you know, current, I don't know,
yeah.
whatever,
Avril Lavigne song. Have you guys seen Wendy Ho perform
no.
here
no.
in New York City? She is, I mean, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. Like, her persona, like, how she is as a comic is, like, this really, really tough, badass, kind of gangsta chick. Like, somebody in the audience once said, am I allowed to curse on here? I'm allowed.
Yeah.
yeah.
What is this? Initially,
we tried not to.
Really?
And then Nick was on, and he just cursed up a storm. We were like, forget it.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is gross. Because she, like, someone in the audience was like, Wendy, you're racist just because the way that she, like, is. Like her character is, and she was like, girl, do you know how many black dicks I've had in my asshole? So, you know, like that's her thing,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
and it's hilarious because that's like her whole, like she's 100% committed to that. She does a version of that song, you can da 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 airplane, la 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 da 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 da. I don't even know the
real
words.
I know what you mean. Dan's looking at you like you're out of your mind, but
I'm going to guess that that's a popular song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Alita Adams? Well, she sings it.
Set our
it.
Sound engineer off camera.
off mic.
That was our intern.
yeah.
Smarty. and she does a whole version of I don't care how you fuck me, but fuck me. Like, and it's this whole thing part of her persona. And that's why it's so great because she is like this. And it doesn't sound great as the way that I'm telling this, but it is like knock you down on the ground, like ridiculous lyrics. Like she's a whole part where she's like, pretend I'm a you're a necrophiliac and I just died. Like, I don't care how you fuck me.
Wow.
I mean, it's so over the top awesome. And it's a total parody song. And I would say that when I was 13 was the only time that I was really into that. But again, I'm so giddy for like...
Yeah.
Anyway, just do it. Do it. I love it. I love it. I don't do that. That's not even my thing.
Right.
I love to see it.
Well, I mean, like, the thing that's analogous about Batman Smells and the thing that you're saying, and I've never seen her, so I'm not trying to take her down or anything like that. But in both of those cases, we're talking about, like, you know, dirty thoughts to funny, you know, dirty thoughts to music.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I fall victim to it every time. If you say something naughty and there's a tune behind it, I'm there, you know? But as a comedy nerd, there's a part of me that's like, well, yeah, but I mean, you know, if you play a record and somebody says fart while you're playing the record, like, it's going to be funny. But
it's funnier if somebody farts while you're playing the record.
Yeah.
Okay. Touche. But you know what I mean? I'm saying, like, is it, you know, is naughtiness like, you know?
Yeah,
I get
criticized
a lot for being deaf. You know, most of my material is on the bluer level, and I think people think it's an easy out.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think people.
But do you?
No, I only write songs about what I think is clever. You know, and I happen to think that kind of humor is just I use it on a daily basis. This is not just for performing on stage shock value. Like on a daily basis, those are the kind of jokes that make me laugh.
But that's unnecessarily music. I mean, if you got up on stage and did a whole bunch of blue material, there would be certain people who would say like, well, that's easy and that's cheap.
Yeah.
And you'll always get a laugh. It's unnecessarily. I love blue. Don't get me wrong, folks. I love a good blue material bit. But I'm just saying there are people who would say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I guess I get part of my concern is a lot of times when I hear, I mean, not that I hear a lot of musical comedians, but like I've seen you perform a bunch of times, and you'll go from dirty to a song about something else to a song about something else, and you know, it's not all about, you know, one thing. But I've seen a lot of, you know, comedians who get up there and they're only, you know, only sticking to like this blue material. Right. And I feel like...
Girls that only have period jokes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, and it becomes this thing, again, where it's like they're going to inherently succeed because comedy to music is always more entertaining than somebody getting up there and not playing music. But, you know, I mean, it just strikes me as one of those things where I'm always a little, as a comedian who's sitting in the back and having to follow that.
Yeah.
There's always a little bit of me that's resentful because it's like, you know, granted, I guess I could do it, but.
Right.
You mean talk about blue.
Yeah. To just go blue, you know, and you can go blue and, I mean, I guess just going blue in general. I guess I'm just indicting blue as opposed to musical blue.
I mean, first of all, I have like 5 minutes of just period jokes, and they kill every time. So you're going to take that back. but secondly, I don't know. I mean, this actually comes as something of a surprise to me. I mean, I guess I've heard this before. But I mean, I've never looked at musical comedians with anything other than envy. Because I just think it's great. I wish I could do it.
That's nice.
What I mean?
That's nice.
And so, I mean, I guess I'm also, I mean, I guess most comedians are jerks, so that envy turns into bitterness and, you know, anger that you can't do it. And so, and you know, everybody likes a song. Like, what's wrong with, you know what I mean?
No, I'm not indicting anybody here.
No,
I'm talking. We're chatting.
No, I'm talking to fictional comedian
Who's
mad at me. I'm not talking to you. I'm just saying, like, but you know what I mean? Like, what's...
Those that judge.
Like, do you go to a Tom Petty concert and, like, you jerk, you played songs the entire time. Of course everyone's going to love it. Well, that's what they do. Like, that's not his fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that brings up a good point. Like, you know, for a while, everybody in my business side of my career was so completely like, all right, look, we love what you do. It's really fun. You got to learn how to do stand-up. You got to write more jokes. And so I was like stressed out for like 3 years trying to become this thing that I'm not. And, you know, I think I gave up a long time ago just doing this for like some sort of outcome. You know, it's like I wouldn't do this as much as I do it if I didn't just actually love doing it. And so what do I love doing? Well, I like doing music. You know, it's kind of my thing.
Right.
So to like try to be this thing that I'm not is kind of was working against me and making me really critical of myself and really like insecure and really wasn't letting me have any more fun with what I wanted to do. You know?
Do you find that you... I mean, I think I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just so I'll let you talk about it. Do you find that you get, like, harshly segmented into shows? Like, you know, if there's another musical comedian on, like, if you're trying to get booked for a show, that it's difficult, it's harder for, like, two musical comedians to get booked on the same show?
Oh, yeah, there usually won't be two of us.
Okay. So, you know, you're essentially, you're competing against a small group?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess the only time I would think that there would be like that it's been a downfall is when you're competing for like a place in a festival or something and they only want two musical acts, you know. Then obviously your numbers are smaller and it's like a totally different thing. But for variety shows like here in New York, kind of like in the scene, you know, so you'll just be on the next week, you know. I don't necessarily ever feel or have felt like that was like a big deal, you know. It's kind of fun when you're the only musical. Because if it's an hour-long variety show, the audience kind of likes that, you know?
Yeah.
They like seeing a bunch of different kinds of comedy.
Yeah, when I'm in an audience.
Oh, you're like the most excited about music comedy I've ever seen.
I do. I love it.
And you bought my album?
No. Oh, but I will immediately after this.
Hooray.
Oh, if for the listening at home audience, if you just seen like Dan's face when he said he was excited about music, it was like a little puppy who just like who just gotten let out of a box on Christmas morning. Like, hey, how's everybody doing? What's going on? Hey, let's throw a ball. Is it a ball? Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
He had that like bright eyed expression.
Well, I love it, and I mean, you know, I said before, it's something that I wish I could do, and I mean, it just adds like, I mean, I like doing just straight stand up too, but I would love to have been able to do like a 5 minute bit and then pull out a guitar and then sing something too, you know. That would have been great. Let me ask you this question, because we're about halfway through the episode and I feel like it's been kind of negative. Do you feel like that?
I don't know.
No, I don't mean that bad way. I just, we were talking about, you know, because again, this is something
struggle.
Yeah, this is something I love. You play guitar, obviously. When you first started learning to play guitar, did you have it in, you know, in your head, like, well, I'm gonna write funny songs, or did you just start learning and then this was a talent you could turn around and use?
I started playing the guitar when I was 16, mm-hmm. and I loved the Indigo Girls. Like you cannot, like every stereotype that you could possibly think of. Like I loved the Indigo Girls. Like I was like a 16-year-old who learned every single one of their songs. And then I started writing songs, like real songs, like serious songs about like boyfriends. And I wrote a song for the Gulf War.
Awesome.
I wrote, you know, like I...
What was it called? "We're America's the Best and We're Going to Win"?
No, but I actually remember the words. And if you want, I will sing you a little piece of it.
Yeah,
absolutely. This is the chorus. It goes... Okay. This was without the guitar because I was too young. I was in like 7th grade, but it went, "We can save the world, the people, places, animals that need our help. We can save the world with the love that lies in ourselves. And if we do, just think how happy all those lost children would be. Because after all of it involves you and me."
That is...
Thank you. Thank you.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Wait, the next verse goes, "There are countries that we've never heard of without hugs from friends every night without any love." Okay, that's
you know what?
That is now, awesome.
Now, believe me, I've always wanted you to succeed musically, but now I'm really hoping that you do. Yeah. So we have this like bootleg little thing.
Ridiculous. I wrote like serious. In college, I used to perform in the bar that I did, that I cocktail waitressed in. I would do like half my songs and half Indigo Girls songs, you know. And then I started writing funny songs because of Fearsome. And then I was like, this is better. And I just liked it a lot more.
Wow.
I want to give her a hard time, but in college, I got my, the first time I got a guitar, I learned Indigo Girls songs first.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, I
tried to learn the...
you were so gay.
I am, I know. I tried to learn the Indigo Girls version of Romeo and Juliet and Closer to Fine.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Two of the hardest ones, actually.
No, I know. Well, I didn't get very far. I tried to learn, and then eventually...
stuck with Blood and Fire, 3 chords.
I took guitar...
Now, where were you when I was like 19?
I took guitar lessons for 2 years, and then my guitar teacher was like, "You should really stop.
No.
You're not really getting anywhere. No, you're not really? You're not really very good at music."
And your
I
was like, teacher did not
I know, that. But yeah, he kind of did. Aww. He was just kind of like, he's like, "I kind of feel like I'm stealing from you. You haven't gotten any better in 2 years.
Have I told my musical story on the podcast yet?
I don't know. Tell it now.
If I haven't.
I will, if you get to the middle and I've heard it, I'll punch you in the face.
Okay.
And that'll end it.
Senior year of elementary school. So it's loosely senior year, but 6th grade. I'm going to call it
sixth
senior
grade.
Year. Yeah. I'm going to call it senior year.
No, let's call it 6th grade.
Because it was a senior show is the reason that I said it as.
That's because of your 6th grade
okay,
show.
6th grade
we
show.
We had a 6th grade dance. We didn't sixth call grade. It a senior dance.
Yeah, well, we
nothing.
Did.
It was
we
the
were
6th grade.
We were tougher than you.
All right, whatever. Tougher. Yeah. Right. That sounds tougher.
So I was in chorus because I'm badass. And we were singing a 6th grade song. Which was, I always forget it. Somewhere Out There.
Oh, yeah, Somewhere Out There.
From An American Tale.
Uh-huh.
Or mm-hmm. 5 Goes West or one of those.
No, it's American Tale. 5 Goes West was the sequel to this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Although they may have sung it in the sequel.
They probably
whatever.
Did. I mean, go it was on. A big hit.
Yeah.
So we were all going to sing it, and we practiced every day for lunch. Like, all the seniors, because mm-hmm. that's how I like to refer to it.
No one's ever called 6th grade seniors.
Let me finish my story. You're right. Ruining my flow. So...
calling yourself senior.
We gave up our lunch period.
Yeah.
You know, for weeks. So finally we're like 3 days shy of the show, and the teacher stops us mid practice, points to me and goes, You have the worst voice I've ever heard in my entire life.
No.
Yes. She's like, "You can come to the show, but you're not allowed to sing."
Who's
my music teacher in chorus.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So that was officially
the last time I ever sang.
Yeah, well, I sang twice for comedic purposes.
Right.
I also sang a song from West Side Story, and I sang Total Eclipse of the Heart a cappella during a sketch show.
Mm.
Wow.
See, Shana doesn't know what this is like because she obviously has musical talent.
Yeah.
But at some point... those of us who are not musically talented have to be gently, or not so gently, put down. It just simply explained that this is not an area for you. You need to just walk away. Yeah. And you can listen to music. That's fine. You can buy albums. Just don't produce any music. And yep. I See, in high school, when I was an actual senior in high school, I actually was in show choir. I sang and danced, but that was only because I could lift the girls up. That was my entire.
Sure it was.
That was my entire. No, that really sure was my entire job, because I would dance all the way in the back, and then we would do like the final pose at the end of like the song. So I would run up to the front and then lift two girls up. So if you ever see pictures,
two girls.
Yeah, if you ever see pictures of like our show choir, it looked like I was the star. Because I was always right smack in the center for the last little bit. But in fact, I always danced all the way in the back.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was in show choir, which
I think part of what builds resentment from normal comedians, from musical comedians, is that sense that, like, I think it was Dan Cook who said that every comedian wants to be a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And did you just quote Dan Cook?
Yeah, I did. But I'm gonna do. But it's right. I think every comedian does want to be a rock star. Everybody wants to kind of like get out there and like really get the crowd going.
Yeah, Dan Cook's not the first person there.
No, he's not. Come on, he's the last person. He's the last person who I remember. No,
that's fine. I'm just saying. Dan Cook steals from people.
Okay, yeah.
Just go.
Why can't I get a flow?
No,
why can't I get a flow tonight?
Flow, baby, flow.
But as a musical comedian, you get both. You get to be a comedian and a rocker.
Well, that's because I decided to get a band, and now I actually play rock venues, and it's the most fun I've ever had in my whole life. You're right. I'm totally living that little dream in my head. Like, it's so fun. It's the funnest thing ever. Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you need a triangle? Because I'll... pretty confident I can rock the triangle.
That would be awesome.
Do you need someone to poorly sing Somewhere Out There?
Because, bam! You found
Justin
it.
Justin is all over that. So what is what is that like? What is that like?
Oh man!
Did you ever, you know, was that your intention to be like, someday I want to have a band?
No,
and I just want to rock. Like, how did that come about? That's God, I want a band. Go on, I'm sorry. Well, what's that like?
It's the first after our first. Like, I got the band together because I wanted to make an album. I was like, I need like a really good PR tool for all this. I need like my music in my hand, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'll just get a band together and record an album. And so I did. And our first rehearsal, when I heard like some of my music come alive like that, like with these like talented musicians, like make it sound so much bigger, I was like, I like cut my hand. I was playing so hard, you know, with the guitar.
Yeah.
And like just you know,
to feel,
it just
just to feel alive.
Yeah. Alive.
Just to feel something.
Yow, yow. It was. It was like totally amazing. And it's been a year of the band, so I've really learned. I'm learning now, like. I'm still learning every time we perform, like how to balance that, the comedy part of it, the music part of it. I'm playing and singing and performing and trying to make people laugh. It's kind of, it's honing itself like over time, but still, no matter, even like our first couple shows, which were totally rough and crazy, like where I don't even know if anyone got the jokes because I was just so busy playing with my band. It's kind of like, ow! You know, like it's totally a different experience, but it's been... I can see, like, honestly, like, this is a real positive thing. Like, we played Mercury Lounge in August, and we're going to be there again January 21st, Mercury Lounge. But that night, I was, like, at the end of it, I was like, okay. Like, I don't know what else I could have done just now that would have made me any happier in the entire world. Like, that's it. Done. Like, I can quit now. Like, not that I would quit, but, like, you know, It's that I'm having that much fun. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's great.
People
yeah.
were like laughing. Like, I have a lot of stops in my songs because it's comedy and you stop and like people are listening. You're like, oh my, you know, it was really, really fun.
Yeah, cool. I was not actually singing, but I was doing a musical thing in college, I remember. And we did one of those like call and response things, you know, like I say this, you say that. And we didn't actually expect it to work.
Yeah.
Like, and then it did. And it was like, there were like 500 people at the show. It was like our biggest show that we did.
Yeah.
And 500 people just like yelling back at you something that you created
yeah.
is the most awesome thing ever. You know, like you feel like a god.
It's a synergy. It's like, yeah. it's just making, like, it's how you feel when you go and see a really fun music show, you know? Mm. It's always enjoyable. Like, the audience is having a really good time. And so to be up there and know that it's something that you know, that you thought of or, you know, that you've worked on or that this kind of artistic endeavor is making people have a really good time tonight, you know, this moment, like, here on stage, like, doing this. It's like, it's kind of why people do stand up and they kill that night. You know, it's that feeling. You can't really get it anywhere else. It's kind of like this drug. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Do you have more groupies now?
No, I do get a lot of really weird, like MySpace and Facebook things now, because just because like the album, or I was on a TV show that was international, so I have like people from Guatemala that are like, we love you. It's weird. Not that people from Guatemala are weird, but to me, I'm like, Colorado, I'm like, Guatemala. Like, that's crazy.
Why are you? Yeah, I guess that would be weird, because I imagine like if I, you know, had recorded a CD and somebody in Guatemala was listening to it, just the thought of somebody like sitting in their room.
Oh, it's like, weird. You know. People have asked me, like this one guy emailed me and said that he and all of his friends get together and listen to my music and they wanted the karaoke versions. Should I send it to him? And I'm like, you're going to have a fucking karaoke party with my songs? Like, how weird is that?
That's awesome.
But it's like 20 people. I'm not talking about, this is not world fame. This is like 20 people in like Illinois.
Yeah. But for every person who's emailed you asking for a karaoke version, there's 100 people that want.
Little girls with a dream. Yeah.
And just don't have the gumption to ask.
They're begging Santa for.
Who knows?
I love the idea that someone had to think like, God, I'd love to sing these songs. You know, she's got to have karaoke versions of these songs. I'll just email her.
They, like, what do they think I have? Like a whole, like a gigantic corporation based on me? Like, you know, I'm like, I live in my little apartment with my husband and, you know, it's like, I don't know.
I'll put my assistant on that.
Let me get my assistant.
He'll get that right out to you.
So weird.
I'm sure my many sound engineers can figure that out in my own personal home studio.
For sure.
Do you think that, like, do you ever stop and just walking down the street and just be like, you know, someone could be listening to my album right now?
No. Who thinks that?
I don't know. I think that all the time.
That's a pretty self-absorbed thought. Who here's listening to my music?
Well, I don't know, like, self-absorbed, but just, like, it's just weird to think that, like, right now out there, someone could probably
be masturbating to you?
But are just listening to the album. And maybe just, you know, masturbating separately, not necessarily because of the album.
No, I think they're masturbating to me.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. I'm glad.
That's your end game. That's the goal that you're...
Yeah. I want as many people, men and women, to just masturbate to me as possible. And that would mean success.
Yeah, you're right. I am the self-absorbed one.
I would just love...
It's sexy music.
Like years from now, like... finding out that there was a concert that you did that like 500,000 people came to and they all just like masturbated.
Like the circle jerk session.
Yeah. You know, and I'm just sitting there in the TV and I just click it off and I'm just like, she got her dream.
She got her dream.
And then it fades to black.
Yeah.
Oh, it's weird. To me, it's weirder when the strangers are interested because you think there must be something kind of pervy about them just because so much of the music is sexy. And you're kind of like, here's this dude from, you know, Sweden who is like, you know, I love you. I love your stuff. And I'm kind of thinking, what's this dude? He's actually emailing me. Like, what is he thinking when he's listening to my song about lube? I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Probably lube. Yeah.
And he's going to be like, well, she wanted it. She was singing about it.
Yeah.
No, she was being funny. No, she wasn't. She was talking to me.
She loves lube. Yeah.
The song was about me. Not me. I'm in a
lube
character.
Lube is
I'm
about
a
character. You.
I don't mean that. I know your husband, and he can beat me up, so I would never say anything. And he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer who can beat me up.
Mm. Yeah, he just became one.
Yeah, so
he can beat you up and then sue you.
Yeah,
and then he'll sue you
for hurting his hand.
Yeah, you broke your face. Hand.
I do that.
Oh, man,
it's so weird.
This show went to a weird place at the end. Did. There.
Yeah,
I blame her though.
That was odd.
Me.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm actually we were talking earlier about the crude versus regular stuff. I have been like heavily influenced to really try to focus on writing stuff that is not blue. Mm-hmm. Like, and it is more difficult. It is.
How do you know, that's actually a great question. Like, how do you, when you sit down to write a song,
mm-hmm.
what is that process like? Because you have to write jokes, but it's got to be, you know, a certain number of syllables long, and it's got to rhyme, and like, is that easier to be like, you know, all right, I got a great rhyme here, or is it like sometimes like have you ever had a great joke and you just couldn't get it into a song, you just couldn't figure it out? What's that process like? Do you write the lyrics first, the music, both?
I usually have to have the idea first. Like, okay. I get inspired by an idea, like with Blonde, you know, one of my older songs, it's like, I'm a brunette, but my bush is blonde. Okay. So I love this idea. So how do I put that into music? So then I start messing around on the guitar and I kind of find like a little bit of a rhythm that I like. And then I usually get like, it's funny because I have so many notebooks, but when I write songs, I don't write in my notebook. I use like pieces of paper from my printer, just like blank, or like an old notebook. Like, I don't know. I don't
put it in my notebook. So you can scratch like a madman?
Yeah,
like,
I do. You know. I do. And I just start to write lines out and I kind of sing as I play. And then I kind of like, and I write it. And it always happens in like a 1 or 2 day period. Like,
okay,
the whole song will get written and then I'll practice and practice and kind of tweak it. And then this happens once every 4 years. I'm just kidding.
Wow. What
like
is
the Olympics?
I'm 73 years old.
What is your? I mean, I don't want to say success rate, but like for the number of songs that you start, how many hit a stage?
Because
I mean, I don't say normal, but like a straight stand-up comedian will write, you know, a bunch of jokes and then one will die the first night that he tells it. You know, whatever. And then eventually some will stick. I imagine with a musical comedian that you have to hit the mark more often. Otherwise, you're going nuts.
I've really only not finished like 2 or 3 ideas.
Okay.
It's that rare that I have an idea that I'm like that inspired about. And if I am that inspired about it, then I write the song. It doesn't mean I play that song all the time. It may not be my favorite song. Mm-hmm. But there's only a couple songs that I just never figured. I never quite figured out how to execute it in the way that like, to me made it as funny as like what I thought the idea was, and they're kind of sitting in my notebook.
I think when you hit your like your Beatles LSD stage, I think that's when those ideas are going to come together. Where you're going to find, you know, you're going to be in like an opium den somewhere and be like, yes, that's it, I get it now. Thank you, talking
there you are
umbrella.
Talking. You have never done drugs. You have no idea.
I have not.
Really, admittedly. Talking umbrellas. People talk to umbrellas when they get high.
But there are apparently like physical things that do talk to you. Is that what you're saying? That like of the things that talk to you, umbrellas ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Yes, I'm going to say that's ridiculous. And talking umbrella, talking garbage can, absolutely. I've talked to.
Because it's got a mouth.
Yeah, of course. It goes like this. You know what I mean? Where is a mouth on an umbrella, Dustin? Sometimes I can't even talk to you. Well, Shannon, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We're going to...
Hey.
Can I say what we were going to do?
Yeah, we are going
to
do.
Well, okay, I just want to make... I didn't want to be weird. We're going to have you perform a song. I hope that's okay.
I think actually we're going to just play a song from our album.
Oh, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
I'm so uncomfortable.
I shouldn't have said it. Damn,
yeah,
it.
You ruined everything.
I shouldn't have said. We're going to play a song. Well, then
we're
going to
play a song.
That's even better.
From our album.
Okay.
Your debut album?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What is the name of your album?
The album's called Blonde, and it's available on iTunes and CD Baby and all that good stuff.
Cool.
And we'll put a link to it on the website.
Yeah, we absolutely
Thanks.
Will.
What are you going to play?
What do you want us to play?
I don't know. Thanks for sticking it in me.
All right.
Okay. Cool. You know, she brought a guitar. I just want the people at home to know that I'm not an idiot.
No, okay. You're not an idiot.
I thought that's what we were going to do.
I just always have my guitar with me.
Oh, okay. That's good.
In case the inspiration hits. There was like a 15% chance that she was just going to stop mid-interview.
And be like,
and like wait a minute, I got an idea.
Like, I just figured out that Indigo Girls song. coming back to me.
Yeah.
Goddamn bar chords. Man.
And then Dustin so just breaks out with the most beautiful version of Somewhere Out There
oh
ever.
Oh my God, that's what you should.
Because I've been practicing in secret for the last like 25
but
years.
But just thought it would just you know, finally just
it's
click for
great
you.
Idea.
Like, oh, I know how to do it.
Actually,
this.
You're going to steal Maya. You can save the world, the people. Like, what was that club?
it had, shows like, it for me. I don't know. What, like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I bought a bumper sticker that said, like, I don't know, support the troops. Not support the troops, because I wasn't back then, but something like that, and put it on my bike.
You did?
And rode around, and I was so, and I was just like, this is really going to help the troops to know that I have this bumper sticker on my bike that I bought at a gas station.
Yeah.
I'm really doing my part.
Wow.
For America.
I poured some of my 40 out onto the street. No, I didn't.
You didn't do that. That is made
Our
off
school,
Dustin.
Like, recorded, like, a radio show for the troops out in the Gulf War, and I actually like made a tape of that song and like put it like
awesome. Somebody please, for the love of God, please.
Oh,
like one of our listeners be one of the people that
I
got
know,
that.
Please. It's like that's the worst song ever. It's so awesome.
That'd be great.
All right.
Right now someone's masturbating to that.
Oh my God. And my whole goal was for the troops to be able to masturbate.
when you were how old were you?
I was in 7th grade.
So your whole goal as a 13-year-old was to get...
That's right.
That's nice. Upsetting.
All right. Well, that's
now we're definitely explicit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we're getting explicit tag. Yeah. That's a good place to end. Dustin, why don't you? Since I screwed it up, why don't you sort of, you know, do the segue into the song now?
So we're leaving you with a song from Shayna Ferm's debut album.
Yeah.
Blonde.
Which you can find on iTunes.
Yeah.
And CD Baby.
And a link on our website.
ShaynaFerm.com.
And ShaynaFerm.com.
And we'll put a link on our website.
Yeah.
So I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Destiny Dan.
Shayna, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
That's our show. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Sticking it in me, had a really great time. Ah, we should do it again. Thanks for sticking it in me, had a really great time. Ah, we should do it again. Great job to you, your moves were sweet. Who knew that's where that little neck massage would lead? Your candlelit apartment smelled like orange cream pie. Guess I didn't realize you were gonna stick it in me. Thanks for sticking it in me. I had a really great time. We should do it again. Thanks for sticking it in me. I had a really great time. We should do it again. When you put your hand on it, even though I hadn't planned on it, you stuck it in me, you stuck it in me. You stuck it in me, you stuck it in me. You stuck it in me, you stuck it in me. You stuck it in me like an orange cream pie. I don't even like Chinese food.
You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com, where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.